I want you to look with me, please. I've got some thoughts, and Brother Gary would know what I'm talking about, and Tim and different ones who've ever preached. I got some thoughts in my mind and heart, and I don't know how it's going to come out. We'll find out, amen, in a few minutes. But I want you to look, please. I want to begin reading, if you will, please. We're going to start at verse number 4 of chapter 4. Actually, let me read verse 1. I'm going to skip a little bit here. Paul gives some admonitions to some folk there in one of the churches, and that they need to be reconciled. It's always good for God's people to get along. Say amen. Amen. But he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, ye dearly beloved." Look at verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus. We do praise your name, and we are so thankful for ministry. Thank you, our Father, for Brother and Sister Edwards who are here all the way from Texas. And God, they've given you their life. They surrendered to you in service. And God, for many years, I know you've used them in an awesome way. Lord, what a blessing they've been to minister to the Hispanic families and to the church and ministry across the road. Lord, I pray, God, you continue to bless them, give them safe traveling mercies this coming week as they'll return home. And God, I pray you'd reward them 100-fold for all that they've done for your glory. And I thank you, Lord, for all those who worked in Judgment House. And I, Father, for the precious 58 souls that were saved. And I, Father, we understand that, God, that every person from the very beginning, months ago, as preparation was made, and Tim and Wendy prayed many long hours in preparation of getting ready, for all those who came to work on the sets, to get everything ready, every labor of love, every screw, every nail, every bit of labor, Lord, every person who had a part in any part of it, that, Lord, they all share in the great reward of one day being in heaven and seeing boys and girls and men and women that they had a part in their salvation and witnessing to them and sharing the gospel with them. Thank you, Lord, that we're laborers and co-laborers together with you in your vineyard. And I pray, God, that you just continue to bless this church, this ministry, the ministries. Lord, the very ministries, God, opportunities for everybody to serve. Lord, to serve and reach folks for Jesus. And God, I pray that, God, that you'd help us to ever be mindful of our blessings. I pray, God, that you'd help us during these days, especially as we approach what we call the Thanksgiving season, that, God, we would indeed be thankful. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on extreme Thanksgiving. Have these extreme sports and extreme this, that, and the other. Paul is challenging us here in this passage of Scripture to extreme Thanksgiving. And you'll understand what I'm saying more about it as I go along through it. As I was going through and reading and studying over this passage of Scripture, sometimes we forget that these are real people. These are real people. They have the same kind of problems you have. They all had to provide for their family. I would dare say that probably in that day it was a little more difficult than it is now. They had the burden of providing for their family. They were living in a hostile situation. They were the domination of Rome, and they had to live there like that. They lived and functioned with a dual monarchy, really, the Roman government and the Jewish Sanhedrin and all those. It was a tough time for them. And particularly the fact that they trusted Christ. Because when they trust Christ, the Jews didn't like them and the Romans didn't like them. Nobody liked them. And so they're trying to function. They're trying to have a job. I got an idea that they were discriminated against because of their Christian testimony, because of their witness for Christ. I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. Besides that, they had problems with their children, just like you have problems with your children. They experienced joy at birth. They experienced great sadness at death. They went through all the same things you do. I mean, they were real people in real life situations, and Paul said this to them, "Rejoice, and again I say, rejoice." And some of us feel like it's all right to rejoice when things are good, but we don't rejoice so much when things are bad. But Paul is trying to get us to a place of what I termed this morning extreme thanksgiving. Extreme thanksgiving. In this passage of Scripture, there's some wonderful things. For instance, I want you to notice if you ever read your Bible, study your Bible, and I know if you come to our Sunday school classes and our great Sunday school teachers, they pointed this out to you. Whenever you read a passage of Scripture and it has the word therefore, now what you're supposed to do is go back and read the passage previous to that so you'll know why it was therefore or what it was there for. And so he says in verse 1, therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And he said, now therefore, he said, there's a reason you ought to stand firm. What is it? Go back and look at verse 17 of the previous chapter. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you believe that this close to Pentecost, that there were real enemies of the cross of Christ? People who hated the way of God, who hated the preaching of the cross, who hated the blood, who hated those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And it says this, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Wow. That sounds like 2016. And then he said this, for our conversation, that means our lifestyle, our citizenship, really, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, he said, back up here, he said, I want you to stand now because Jesus Christ is coming again. I mean, you ought to live your life with an expectancy that Christ is coming. He said, in spite of you living in a society where there are great enemies, where there are problems going on, where there are people that don't like you, they hate you, they don't live like you think they ought to live, they don't live like the Bible says they ought to live. He said, remember this, our conversation, our life, our very existence is in heaven already, and Jesus Christ is coming again. Watch verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the work whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, he said, you are to stand fast in the Lord. Extreme thanksgiving. Here's what he's saying. He said, now, folks, listen, everybody's got problems. Everybody here doesn't have a problem, raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. If you got a problem, you got a problem. I remember one time I was listening to a CD or tape or something, and there was a great preacher, Dr. B.R. Lakin, they picked him up at the airport and they were riding, and Dr. Lakin was his great preacher, and he always had a lot of humor in his messages and just really a man of God, very, very, just rejoicing, praising the Lord. And one of the drivers, one of the young men in there, asked him when he was taking him to the church to preach, he said, Dr. Lakin, how old do you have to get to be before you don't have any troubles and you don't have any problems? Because he's looking at Dr. Lakin. He said, man, this old preacher don't have any problems. You know, all he does is just rejoice and praise God all the time. And about that time, they ride by cemetery. And Dr. B.R. Lakin said, you see those people out there? He said, the only ones I know that don't have any problems, those folk out there. As long as you live in this world, Bible said, Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Everybody's going to have problems. Everybody's got trouble. You have difficulty. But here's the thing. He said, there is a way that you can have peace. And he gives it to us in this passage of Scripture. And Paul is challenging these people, all right? You're living in a tough time. You're having a tough time. You're having problems in your family, physical problems, financial problems, storms, hurricanes, everything else going on. But he said, there's a remedy to that. And there's a requirement, things that you ought to do, that you need to do. And he said, it is this, in everything, give thanks. You learn extreme thanksgiving. And this passage of Scripture especially is a blessing to my heart. Look at it. Let's just kind of go through and don't have a long outline or a bunch of outline, but I want you to look at a couple of words. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself because I'm so excited about getting to it. I'll go ahead and tell you now, and then I'll repeat it when I get to it. I got to look at this passage of Scripture. Rejoice, and again, I say rejoice. Now, like every word in our English language as compared to the Greek language, their words mean so many things different. And there's so many words in their language for rejoicing. There is rejoicing, like, you know, if you just have something nice to happen in your life, you're very thankful and you're rejoicing over that. And there are times that you have something that's a little bit unusual and God gives you a special blessing, or somebody's very especially kind to you, or they give you a surprise party or something like that. That's a type of rejoicing. And then there's the rejoicing in the fact that you've had your sins forgiven. That's great rejoicing. That is greatly to be praised. But this word here, this is the word for extreme rejoicing. This is the word for just letting a rip, like Brother Brad's talking about a while ago. He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. I mean, it is exuberant. It is that kind that just overflows. It is that praising that you just can't hardly contain yourself and rejoicing. It is that kind of extreme praise. He said, Jesus is coming again. That'll cause you to give extreme thanksgiving and extreme praise. And as he goes through, now notice what he said in this passage of scripture. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now, he's saying this, the Lord is coming. The Lord's coming. And he said, in that light, let your moderation be known to all men. I've read this passage, studied this passage many times, and I was going back over it again this week. And in my Scofield Bible, if you happen to have a Scofield reference Bible, that word moderation, he has the word gentleness. And so I put that word in there. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. And I've studied this passage. He said in the first place up here, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And then below that, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you see, it seemed to me like this idea of gentleness didn't fit. I mean, that just doesn't seem like, and Lord, rejoice and be, you know, extreme rejoicing, and let everybody know your gentleness, and then don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That word didn't fit. And so I tried to do a little research, try to study. And like I said a while ago, Greek words have so many different meanings and the emphasis. I found one that suits me. And it really is what it was saying. Here's what it says. When I looked that word up and I began to go through that word, it can mean gentleness. But when we think about gentleness, we talk about somebody just doing gentle acts. But he said gentleness. But also it means this. It means patience. It means patience. Now, what is patience? Somebody said patience is sitting idle in the engine when you want to spin your tires, something like that. And you know, we get this idea of, you know, just I'm going to hang on, I'll be patient. But no, that's not the biblical concept of patience. The biblical concept of patience is being able to trust and be fully relaxed and without any shadow of a doubt, I am not impatient. You know, I have a hard time doing that physically sometimes, to just sit down and relax. Sometimes I'm waiting and I'm anxious. And I'm kind of like, although I'm not moving on the inside, outside on the inside, I'm racing 100 miles an hour. But the biblical term of patience means this: I am completely at rest. And this word moderation means to be completely satisfied, to be completely content. It means to not be all geared up. It means not to be anxious for anything. And he said, you let people look at you until you're not uptight. Look, let people be able to see. You remember what I told you last week about praising? Our praise ought to first of all be vocal, but then it ought to be visible. They ought to be able to look at me and tell I'm not about to go all to pieces, that I'm not a wreck over what's going on in our society, what's going on in my home, what's going on in my family. And when things fall apart, I'm not falling apart. It is a testimony. And he wants us to come to the place of extreme praise. Now, how many of you, if you're not going to win the lottery, but let's just say, if you had a distant relative that went home to be the Lord. We're not going to say they just died, but they went home to be the Lord. And they contact you, a lawyer contacted you and said, we'd like for you to know that this distant relative that you don't know anything about, that they passed away, and that somehow or another you're in the will, and you will be receiving a check for $1 million. Would that be okay? That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? If you got that, that would be great. That'd be a time of rejoicing. But my listen, he says this, you ought to live your life in such a way that regardless of what's going on, whether it's good times or bad, we think we ought to give extreme praise and thanksgiving when things are good. But here is Paul's concept of extreme thanksgiving and praise. It is all the time. It is all the time. In sunshine and light and rain, in good times and bad, in sickness and in health, in times of loss, in times of gain. That is his idea of worship and praise and thanksgiving. It is extreme thanksgiving. He said, let your moderation, that means let your contentment. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Dr. Oliver Green said the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Now, in the context of what he's talking about, I want you to drop down and look at a verse here that the Apostle Paul gives us. Look at it, verse number 11. He said this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's the same type of emphasis. Now, that word contentment doesn't mean that he's settled. I like that commercial on television. We're settlers. You know, they settle for this, settle. I'm not sure what the commercial's about, but I remember that. A bunch of old, you know, people sitting around, we just settle. You know, it doesn't mean that you just sit around. You say, I'm never going to be rich. I'm never going to be good looking. I'm never going to be this. I'm never going to be that. I'm never going to be a success, but I'm going to just wait. I'm going to just endure. I'm going to just be like, no. When Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, it means I have learned whether it's good times or bad, whether it's in abundance or lack, whether it's in heartache or joy. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be satisfied and content and to be able to praise God in it. Wow, that's extreme thanksgiving. It means that you don't thank him just when everything's going good, but you've got to the place where you can praise him regardless. That is extreme thanksgiving. Let your moderation, let your contentment, let your joy, let your realizing that everything's okay be known. If everything's falling apart around you, you're not falling apart. That's extreme thanksgiving. And he said this. He said, let your moderation be known on all men. The Lord is at hand. I believe there are a couple of emphases. One is this. He's coming again. He's already mentioned that to us. Jesus is coming. Wouldn't it be a bad thing if Jesus came and found us mully grubbing? You know, gloom, despair, and agony on me. He said, I loved you, I died for you, I gave you everything you ever needed. I never left you, never forsook you. I was always with you. I put you in a good family, put you in a good church and everything. And you got. And here you are, when he came back, he catches us and we're just murmuring and complaining. Listen, Paul's idea of extreme thanksgiving is this. We give him thanks in all things, all the time. He said, be anxious. Notice what he said. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, he said. Wow. Now, these are real people. They're living under the domination of Rome. The Jews hate them. The Romans hate them. I mean, they're just having a time. And he said, don't worry about anything. The Lord's got it. God's in control. He said, but in everything, don't worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Now, listen, I believe you and I, first of all, we're way behind on our praising for past blessings. I mean, we just need to thank him for what he's done for us. If he didn't do anything for us today, for everything he's done for us up to now, if we just thanked him and praised him for that, we'd be busy for the rest of the year right on through the millennial reign of Christ for the things past. But I'm also aware of this, that sometimes that our problems and difficulties and things going around, we miss and we do not acknowledge present blessings. And we don't thank him for that. And certainly you and I ought to be recall past blessings and be thankful for that, and if we went down and made a list, and then for our present blessings, if we went through and thanked Him for all that He's doing for us now, well, that's a wonderful thing. But that's not what's in mind here. Paul has this extreme thanksgiving in mind. He said, God's been good to us in the past. God's good to you now. But here's what Paul wants us to learn how to do. He wants us to praise Him for unreceived blessings. He said, don't be careful about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication. Now, you got things. You got all these things. You got all these burdens. You got all these problems. You got all these bills. You got all these heartaches. You got all these sorrows. You got all these needs. All these things are going on. He said, I'll show you what extreme praise is all about. Anybody can praise Him for what we look back in the past and saw He's done. Thank God for that. Amen. How many of you are happy and thank God for the wife He gave you? Say amen. Amen. Wow. I was really expecting a little louder than that. I'm not even going to ask the wife. So I don't think that point was too effective. But listen, are you thankful for what God did in the past? Say amen. Amen. I have to prompt you a little bit. Are you glad that He saved you? Amen. Amen. Are you glad that He loved you before the foundation of the world? Amen. Amen. Are you glad that He's blessed you with physical needs and everything you've ever needed right to this very hour? Amen. Amen. God's been good to us. Yo, you say, Brother Billy, I'll just tell you, God's given you everything you've ever needed in your life to now. You say, well, I remember 1968, I needed something, I didn't get it. But you didn't die. So did you really need it? You didn't really need it. God knows what we need. God's been good to us. That's wonderful. I mean, anybody could do that. I mean, you could look back over your life and praise Him forever. And if you looked around at all the good things that you got, and the blessings that you've got. There was a pastor in the revival the other night, Friday night, and he's been to the Philippines. I said something about the Philippines. He showed me all kind of pictures where he'd been to the Philippines and preached over there, and kids got saved, people got saved. What a blessing it is. And I just brought back so many wonderful memories of when we've been to the Philippines. But listen, thank God for that. Thank God for what He's done in the past. Thank God for His goodness and blessing and using us. And thank God for what He's doing now. Look around you at all the blessings around you now. If we know He's given you everything you've ever needed, and if you just stop and start praising Him for what you've got now. But Paul said, I want to challenge you. He said, I want you to go to extreme praise. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Now, what's that thanksgiving about? That thanksgiving is not talking about past blessings. It's not even talking about present blessings. He's talking about you've got to learn to thank Him for the blessings you've not received yet. These are the things that all of us have unwelcome experiences, unwanted sadnesses. But He said, if you want to live in real peace and real joy, He said, you learn to do this. You know that 100 years from now, what you're worried about will not matter. You know that the heartache you feel now in 100 years will be gone forever. You know that the need you think is so great now, 100 years from now, it won't matter. He said, if you want to really have peace of God, you start right now thanking Him for blessings that are coming down the road in the future. And here's what got me so excited, and I had to share just a little bit of you. When I got to looking at this word, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, He stepped it up a notch. He extreme rejoicing, but then He steps. The last phrase there is like this. It is boastful praise. I mean, it is boastful praise. And that sounds bad, doesn't it? It sounds almost unspiritual to praise Him boastfully. About what we, you know, you think about people that talk about an occurrence that's coming up, and a ball game. Let's say that, and the team they boast and say, we're going to beat them. Well, that's a relative thing. It's kind of like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth, and then things change. But this praise that He's given us now It is not wishful praising. Somebody said, we're shouting on credit. And that's not a bad term. I hear people talk about we're praising God on credit for what he's going to do. But I'd rather say this. This is faith thanksgiving. How many of you know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning? Say amen. How many of you know that God made a promise that I shall meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus? He's going to meet the need. You don't know how, you don't know when, but you know he's going to do that. Say amen. Amen. Now, here's what Paul said. Paul said, if you really want to have joy and peace in this troubled world, you've got to start right now thanking him for praise and praising him for things that he's going to do in the future. Now, listen, some of those things are spelled out for us in the Bible. He said this back, therefore, and he said, one of these days the Lord's coming back and he's going to change our bodies. Boy, that ought to be a plus for somebody. Amen. Hey, if he's going to change our body and give us a perfect body, do you really need to get on that treadmill? That's a question. How many of you believe the Lord could come today? Amen. I do. Thank God. So just pray. No, it's not. You've got to take care of the temple. I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. He wants us to learn. This is not playing mind games. This is real. This is real. He's coming again. He's going to give us a brand new body. There's going to be a glad reunion. Do you know that? We're going to meet our loved ones in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. He said, if you want to learn to live now and be happy now, start thanking him and praising him with extreme praise, boastful praising about what's coming down the road, that he's going to do it. I mean, this is real. This is faith praise. This is faith thanksgiving. And learn to do that, because you're going to be beat down. You're going to have problems, all types of mood swings and everything else going on in your life. But my dear friend, he said, if you want to learn to do, you need to learn to do extreme thanksgiving. And that is for thanking for things that have not yet happened, that you know you believe with all your heart that he's going to do. Thank him for it. Acknowledge it and live that way. And everything he said, give thanks. Give thanks. And then what did he say the results of that's going to be? Watch what he said down here in verse number 6. Be careful. Don't worry about anything. But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now we're thanking him for the answers to those prayers. Thanking him for needs being met. Thanking him for what he's going to do. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. Learn to do that. Peter said, you need to learn to gird up the loins of your mind. Let the Holy Spirit of God help you now. This is not the end of this story. This is not the way it's going to end. There's a better day. We're praising him and giving him thanks for answers to prayer that we don't yet have. We're rejoicing needs going to be met that we can't see any possible way it's going to be met. We're thanking him for a heaven and for the eternity. That's the hope that we have within us. Knowing Christ as Savior, it's not a hope with a question mark. It's a hope with an exclamation point. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to be real. That is extreme thanksgiving. And so when you're thinking about Thanksgiving this year, we are way behind on our thinking for the past. We don't recognize all the blessings of the future. But Paul said, I tell you, there's a step even beyond that. And that is learn to just praise him. Don't let the problems of this world, the cares of this world beat you down, but learn to thank him. Praise God, this too shall pass. One of these days I'll be perfect. One of these days I'll be rejoicing. One of these days I'll be rejoicing around the throne of God with all the saints of God, with all my family that's already there. It's real to me. Thank God for it. This is not going to last long. I'm looking for that. I'm living for that. But it's not a mind game. It's a reality. But it's only reality if you're saved. Titus said, we have a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Paul writes in the book of Hebrews that there was a time that you were without God, alienated from Israel, without God and without hope. And if you're not saved today in the media audience, in this radio audience, you can't play a mind game with God. You have no hope. You think things are bad now? I tell you, Brother Bob did an awesome job in giving the invitation. You know, everybody's glad to get to heaven. Nobody really want to leave heaven. Nobody want to go to hell. And everybody want to get out of hell. That's great. That's exactly right. But my dear friend, if you don't have Christ this morning, you don't have any hope. You can't say this is not the end. It's going to be worse than this down the road. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But he said, we can rejoice now. We can thank God on credit. We can praise. We do faith thanksgiving for what's going to happen down the road. We know that's going to happen. But if you're not saved, you can't do that because your life's going to get worse. Your life's going to get worse because in hell, you'll be there for all eternity and no hope of ever getting out. Only weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth forever and ever. There were no praise there, no thanksgiving there. Only weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Agony forever and ever and ever. But he's not willing that any should perish. He don't want you to go there. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to trust Christ. And I'd say to you in the radio audience, the internet audience, and here in the building this morning, that he loves you. And he didn't want you to go, so he gave his life a ransom for you that you might be saved and might have eternal life and live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the question is this, do you have that in you? Do you know you have eternal life? Do you know that you're saved? If you know you're saved, that's the foundation of what we're shouting about. I'm saved. He's coming again. You know, 100 years from now, everything for me is going to be perfect. Be perfect. I don't think anybody in here will live 100 years. But a lot of people in here who are going to live forever in the presence of God eternally. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no pain. But if you don't know Christ, you'll live eternally in a place called hell where there'll be no joy, no peace, no happiness forever and ever. What makes the difference? What makes the difference? Only one thing. He came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And this morning you can go to heaven, not by baptism or good works, but by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to ask you to do that right now. In the building, in the radio audience, internet audience. Right now you can do that. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you bow your heads this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, first of all, the most important thing is for those of you who do not know for sure you're saved. Because you know what Paul said to that church at Philippi? The Lord is at hand. He may be coming soon. He may be here any time. His arrival is very soon. It could be the day. You don't know how long you've got before he comes, but then you don't know how long you're going to live. David said, as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death. One step. And it's imperative that you right now today is the salvation, the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Trust him right now. Call on him right now. Would you do that? Would you be willing right now to call on the name of the Lord? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I invite you and encourage you right now to call on him from your heart. He knows your heart. You don't have to frame any certain type of word other than the fact that you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and that he died to save you and you receive him right now. Right now. But I sure would love to pray for you. And if we can help you, if I can help you, some of the other men or other ladies help the ladies. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Billy, I do not know for sure I'm saved. And I want to know that I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to have that hope. I want to have that joy of knowing Jesus. Preacher, will you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? You may be a visitor or a guest right here in the building this morning. Would you raise your hand? I don't know for sure that I'm saved, Brother Billy, but I want to be saved. Anybody? Let me ask you this. For those of us who are saved, we've all been blessed in the past. We've got more blessings now we've ever praised him for. But I really believe that what Paul wants us to understand is this idea of extreme thanksgiving. That is looking beyond this veil of flesh and looking beyond the what we're going on now and start giving him thanks and praise for what's coming down the road and for what he's going to do for us and blessings not yet received and needs not yet met, prayers not yet answered, and for the great promises that he's given us that we do know about beyond that. Boy, to change our perspective. In fact, he said, if we could learn to do that, that we'd experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. People can't understand why if you got all kind of problems going on, you're praising God and giving thanks. It's because you'll see a lot further down the road than they are. You look beyond the problems. You look beyond the heartache. You look beyond all that, and you see what's real down the road, and you're thanking him for it now. That's extreme thanksgiving. Boastful thanksgiving. That's faith thanksgiving. Thanking him for what's coming. He said, the Lord is at hand. He's coming back, but also I believe it means this. I believe it means he's right by your side. As long as he's with you, you don't have a thing to worry about. Be thankful. Be thankful. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help me and you both, all of us, to thank him and praise him for certainly things in the past and the present. But extreme thanksgiving is thanking him for what's going to happen down the road. Looking beyond the election, looking beyond anything else, looking beyond our circumstance, looking beyond our, and thank him for that. If we can learn to live in thanksgiving attitude about those things, he said it to give us a peace of God beyond all understanding. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to do a work. I pray, God, the Spirit of the living God, Lord, would draw by your grace and save lost people. Thank you for the many you saved during the judgment house. And God, if there's a person in the building who did not raise their hand and they're not saved, I pray, God, you convict them. Drawn by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, for those in the media audience, I pray, God, that they too would be saved today. And Lord, I pray for our friends here who are Christians. God, help us not to be weighed down with the cares of this world, with the problems and burdens. But God, help us to see the day when those are to be no more. And learn to live, our Father, in praising you with extreme thanksgiving and extreme praise. For blessings not yet received, knowing that your promise is you'll meet every need we've got. God, that one of these days we'll have a perfect body. One of these days there'll be a glad reunion with all of our loved ones there. And we'll get to be in heaven for all eternity. We're thanking you for that even now. We live in the reality of that. God, help us to do that. Now, folk, while we have our head bowed, eyes are closed. And again, it's a little bit difficult to move around the building. But I'm just asking you to meet God this morning and learn to thank him and praise him. It'll revolutionize your life. It'll make a difference in your witness. You'll be a greater testimony. He said, let everybody see your contentment, your rejoicing,